All right, everybody, y'all come on in. We're gonna get started for the day. And let me get my little screens all set up for you. All right, so we are going to be coaching today. So anybody that needs coaching, you just need to raise your hand, of course, and then we will get started. As of right now, everybody is doing so wonderful in the world that they don't need any help. Oh, we have somebody who needs help. All right, just a quick update. I've got the entire thing for us next month all written, all recorded, all ready to go. You should start seeing it, I believe. Let's see, what is today's date? I have to look at my calendar. I think we are releasing it to everybody on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. That would be, yeah, it's either, I think it may be, actually, it's releasing next Saturday, February 28th. So when you go to the website and you log in, you will see this month in no BS. If you are not part, if you're not brand new, or if you didn't join in January, you will get this once you become like once you roll over into the program. But for everybody else, what we're going to be doing during the month of March is we are going to work on the one problem that everybody says that they typically have, which is if I start eating something that tastes good, like I lose control, or I have a hard time stopping it enough, or I blow past enough, or it's the tasty food. And I will just tell all of you that that is very common. There are reasons why that happens. And once you know the reasons, guess what happens? It gets so much easier for you to be able to lose weight. It also gets so much easier for you to be able to change that behavior. There are just really good reasons why it's happening. But if you don't know the reasons, guess what you feel? Frustrated, you feel like things aren't working, you think something must be wrong, you think stopping enough's not going to work. And I think the worst thing that happens though is that if you think the food tasting good is the reason why you can't stop or the reason what makes it so hard, then you end up doing restriction cycles. You end up getting into the habit of trying to ban that food, trying to do everything except for address what's really going on. And I have really studied it. I have put a lot of good thought into it, and I create a whole program around it because I do believe it's one of those things. It is tasty food just tends to be one of the ways that we care for ourselves. So the problem isn't that the food tastes good. The problem is that it's a caring mechanism. So just let y'all marinate on that for a week, and then we will get started with it starting next week. All right, Allison, let's get you on up. And do not forget that if you need help today, you need to either ask questions in the Q&A or you need to raise your hand like Allison did. Otherwise, we get out early because believe it or not, Corinne always has plenty of work to do for y'all. I have a list literally right now. I made my current to-do board that needs to be done like in the next few weeks. 36 items on it as of this morning. And I didn't even go through all my notes from this week. So your girl's gonna be busy for y'all. All right, what we got? Allison, how can I help you?
Hey there. Yeah. So this is my first time coaching and I've been in here since 2022. And yeah, you've definitely changed my entire relationship with food and my husband and my life. So it's all good. So my challenge now is with work, and it is probably leading to it tastes so good I can't stop eating at the end of the day as well because I'm so stressed. So work has been a real challenge. We recently moved to downtown LA, which is where I live in the area. So it's a long commute. Horrible traffic. I get up extra early to go, which is really hard for me because of I have ADHD, so it's like our circadian rhythms are off. It's hard to get up early. So I go, I manage
Is it
it. I
hard to
just
get up
leave out
early,
early.
or are you just getting up early at this point?
I mean, I'm doing it, but I'm really damn tired.
Okay,
And I
so
feel really
yeah, let me
tired.
ask you this. When you talk about work is so stressful, so far, all I've heard is how you're stressing yourself out about work.
Yeah, I know I'm doing that. That's why I'm
Like,
here.
if you, like, I'm just gonna tell you, I'm gonna give you a cheat code. There's never a moment of your life declaring that it is hard for you to wake up in the mornings ever going to work for you.
Okay.
It's literally like, tell me how it feels when you say, like, I have ADHD and it's just hard for me to wake up in the mornings. And then your brain goes to work on, like, and you know, it's circadian rhythms and it's all this. So you start dogpiling. How's that feel? Amazing.
No. No, it's not.
What does it feel like? Tell me what it feels like.
Well, it's the anxiety. So definitely
Yeah,
feeds
it
into it.
gives you anxiety. Now, let me tell you what's actually happening. Every day, Allison has gotten up and went to work with ADHD, even though her circadian rhythm is off. But she's made it to work every damn day. Now, how does
Pretty
that
much,
feel
yeah.
compared to it's hard? And now let me tell you all the reasons why it's hard. Sometimes what we do, this is one, is whenever you feel inordinately stressed, I would invite every one of you to write down, here's all the reasons why I think I'm currently stressed. Look for all your opinions. Because stress has to come from thinking. It cannot come from a situation. There's zero feelings that we ever feel that come from situations. They always come because something has happened, and then we think about it in our own unique way, and whatever our unique interpretation is makes us feel something. What we forget is that my feeling isn't caused by the thing. And so when we that's like saying, like, I want you to put together this puzzle, and if you don't, I'm going to, chop your hand off. And I give you a puzzle and I leave out the key piece. Well, you're going to get your hand chopped off every single time because you don't have what you need. If we understand fundamentally that there's probably something in me going on that's causing my stress, now I got something to work on. Just like in this case, you could literally wake up every day and just say, man, I make it to work every day, even though I have ADHD. I somehow am overcoming this. I'm tired, but I'm overcoming it. To me, that just feels like a thousand times better. And it's absolutely the truth. Unless you came in here and said, no, Corinne, it's not the truth. In fact, I'm on my third written warning, and one more, I'm getting fired because my ADHD prevents me from getting out of the bed. Okay.
Oh, I know, and I
Now
have that
I'll
tendency
let
to
you.
just be very negative.
Yeah. Well, that's good for you to recognize, right? If that's your tendency, whenever anybody says it's my tendency to be negative, I always say it's great that you know that because now you've got the hardest part solved. A lot of people don't realize they're negative, they think they're just spitting facts. They
No, I've
don't
been here
realize.
long enough to know that.
Yeah. So when you realize my interpretations tend to be negative, now we have a problem to solve. Like, how do I get better at my interpretations so that I don't have to feel so stressed about my job?
So
Otherwise,
that's a
if
yeah.
it's really the job, it's really the traffic, then LA is going to have to, like, was it Moses who parted the Red Sea? You're going to need Moses and a staff to go to the interstate every day and like pound it down and be like, and let the sea part for Allison because she shouldn't be stressed.
Wish I could do that without LA traffic. Okay.
I
No,
feel
that
you.
definitely
I had to go
helps.
downtown this week and spend 3 days. And my first rodeo took me 90 minutes to get from my house to downtown. And I was like, wow. Our traffic really does stink here. Like, I live in my own little small town bubble, so I rarely have to deal with it. I was like, whoo, that's a lot of traffic. If
Yeah,
I
no,
had
it
to
gets
travel every day,
intense.
I'd have to get up early.
Yeah, which is why, like, and that's why I do it. Like, I tell myself, well, I've determined I'd rather get a little less sleep than be frustrated and spend waste time in traffic. So,
Or you could go to bed earlier and you wouldn't have to get less sleep.
well, that's the challenge. I try to go to bed earlier, but I've been dealing with a lot of insomnia lately. They recently made us changed it to going in 3 days a week. I have lots of anger around that, so of course that's making it. That was very recent, so I'm sure I'll overcome it. But then also
Well,
we have a
yeah.
new
Did you go to work
director.
like before you had to commute? Did you go to work most days?
Well, before like the pandemic, you mean? We did 5
Yeah.
days, but that was a different location.
Right. Well, this is what I just want to say to all of you. As I have been rewatching the Grey's Anatomy and we just went through the COVID situation. It's always funny to watch it and be like, "Wow, we have come a long way since 2020." It's funny how like for all of you who are like upset about now having to go in. Why were you not upset prior to COVID? Most of us weren't. We thought it was normal to
No.
go to work, you know, and it's always something interesting to think about because what it
Yeah, that's true.
does is it just shows you, like, back then, I didn't think this was a hardship. Back then, I just thought this was the way it was supposed to be. Okay. Now you've seen two different ways, but you have now decided, oh, because there's a different thing I've been exposed to, that means that this new way isn't how it should be. And that's what makes you angry.
Yeah, I mean,
Instead
that's not, I
of
mean, the country,
this is the
yeah.
new normal. And you already have a great thought for that, which is it's new. I will get used to this.
Right. Yeah. No, and I will get over the anger that's just like fresh right now. Oh, well, the commute before COVID and until last year was only 10 minutes for me, and now it's 35 minutes each way. So it's definitely a lot more, but and then I have other thoughts, of course. I tell myself, oh, perimenopause, brain fog just makes it so much harder than when I was pre-COVID. But again, probably not helping those thoughts.
Right. You have like 1,000 thoughts that you could literally change for yourself and like go from a level 10 anxiety and stress to, I would bet you in one day, you could feel like at least a five.
And that would be like through the writing down all the ideas you're thinking, or
Yeah. Like every shitty
oh
thought
my
that you have
God.
just spewed at me, which is the perimenopause fog is making this harder. Instead of, I have perimenopause and brain fog, I wonder how I can make this easier. What am I not currently doing for myself? I could be doing for myself. Do you just see how it's just like putting you in a position to, like, when we are just literally bitching and moaning, it will feel good to bitch and moan in the moment. And if you need a bitch session, that's one thing. Like whenever I have something disruptive happen in my life, I will have a huge bitch session with my best friend. And I always tell myself, you are allowed to like bitch once or twice. You can get your willies out. Say all the things that's going through your mind that feel true and emotional and hard. After that, this is how I tell myself, Corinne, you owe it to yourself to think differently. Because I don't like feeling bad. I just
Yeah,
don't.
no, no one
I do
does.
not like feeling stressed. I don't like feeling
Yeah.
worried. I don't like those feelings. They literally stink. And very few things in life can be changed externally. Like you could quit your job and all of this stress would go away. But
I'd
I'm
have
going
new stress of
to.
trying to
Exactly, because
pay
now I get to stress about possibly going homeless. Like it's a whole nother world. So that's why I was like, very often we there's not a lot of things outside of us we can change. So if that's the tr like if there's nothing outside of us to change or very little, then we know, okay, if I'd like to feel better, my insides have to change the way I think about it. Because if you're not going to quit your job, I owe it to myself to have a better perspective so I don't have to feel more stressed than necessary.
Sounds
So
good.
let's take
That's better.
something that's like, go ahead. You go ahead and finish. I'm going to listen to you for a little bit and we're going to see if we can pull on something.
Can finish telling you some of the shitty thoughts in my head.
Yeah, I'll write them
So I
down.
have down. So I we have a new director, and she's hard to read, so I don't really know where I stand with her. And but overall, though, I do like her. She has a lot. She likes to coach people. I feel like I can learn a lot from her. But then, shitty childhood trauma just makes me think, oh no, she's gonna find me out. It's a crappy employee. These are stupid thoughts in my head
Okay, so let me
that
stop
I
you right
don't.
there. That right there, you think the problem is that you have a hard to read doctor, but the
That's
real
boss.
problem is that when you are tying it to your childhood trauma, that's what makes it hard. Okay, so the only thing you need to do, we do not need to unravel all of our childhood trauma overnight in order to feel better. You literally just need to call it out for what it is. When you're getting anxious around your boss, you just say, oh, this isn't real. This is old childhood trauma thinking. Like, we just want to like kind of like literally call out what's really happening, because then there's a level of relief that comes in from that.
Yeah,
Like
absolutely.
it's like, you know, and but you said it with such energy as if, and it's a bad thing because I've got childhood trauma. And I'm like, no, it just is, that's just how your brain reacts. If you don't know how to read someone, and that was dangerous as a child, like you had to be hyper vigilant as a child, then you just tell yourself, oh, that makes sense why I get nervous around this new boss. But this new boss isn't like my, like, let's say it was a parent. This new boss isn't like my parent. Like, she seems to want to coach you and she seems to want to do these things. So I'll probably get really, and knowing that you're hyper, this is the most powerful thing you could probably think is knowing I'm a hyper vigilant kind of person. I bet I get good at reading her really quick.
Oh
It
yeah, no,
won't
I
be
usually
hard.
am.
Exactly. And then you tell yourself that rather than one of my stressful problems is I have a hard to read director. It's like, oh, one of the things I'm getting used to is figuring out my new boss. That's
Yeah,
uncomfortable. It's
that's totally
different.
it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. What's next? What's the other shitty thought we got working?
Well, I mean, that's a lot of it. I think the challenge is trying to get to bed earlier at night. And you know, I have all this story in my head, which I know is not true, but it's hard to separate, especially when you're tired at night. And so I'm like, oh no, I have to get to sleep. If I don't sleep, then I'll be really tired and I'll perform worse tomorrow and my new director will find out and I'll get fired. Brain just goes
So
before
when
I can
it's
like
doing
stop it.
that, and so we know that that's going to be where your brain goes. Now, how do you want to be there for yourself? Because right now, I think what's happening is you're just letting it run, and you don't realize that is something you can now just watch and anticipate. Like, I know when I, until I get used to things, I'm going to lay down at night, and my brain is going to, like, one of my dear friends, his husband calls it go to hypothetical hell. He's
Great one. I love it.
autistic. Yeah, he's autistic, ADHD. Poor Warren, he's got like a million things. And one day he was here. I swear to God, I thought, we're gonna have to get that boy some oxygen because like he doesn't stop. Like when he starts talking, I mean, we're talking like a 30-minute stream of consciousness will go on. And, you know, of course, my son, I've been living with autism all my life. So I love it because I'm just like, I can roll with this. And he just blurts out one day talking about hypothetical hell. And I said, I got to stop you. What'd you just say? I thought the best term. I
Taking
was like,
that
this describes the what if and what if, and then this will happen, and then this will happen. It's like, your brain, it like sometimes just saying, like, okay, I know it's going to happen. Probably going to lay down to go to bed early. My brain is naturally wired to go to hypothetical hell. So when that happens, how would I love, like, and I want this to be the sentence, and I want you to answer it. How would I love to be there for myself?
Like in that moment when it's
Yeah.
happening.
It's coming. It's going to probably come for the next few weeks.
Right.
It's going to come until your brain feels safe. Just think about our brains. They don't like change, even if change is
Right.
good. Brains like, well, not even like positive change. If you quit smoking, your brain's going to tell you that's the dumbest thing you've ever done. It's like, I don't know. I keep reading that you could die. Like, so
So how do
if
I want to
knowing
be
your
there
brain
for
is hating
myself?
the change right now and it's going to be freaking out until the only way it's going to stop freaking out is when it starts getting used to things. Once it gets used to things, it's like, oh, this isn't change anymore. I see how all this works. I figured some things out. Then it will get to calm down. But for the next few weeks, it's just going to be looking for all the problems because it's all brains are wired to do that for safety. So now, how do you want to be there for yourself knowing that your brain is just going to be going to hypothetical hell because things are different now?
I mean, it might help if I viewed that part of me is just like a toddler having a temper tantrum, because that's kind of how it feels. But then also I need to remind myself over and over again that I'm very capable at my job. Like my direct boss is frequently commends me at reviews. Like I've never been on put on a PIP or anything. Like people value me. So I just that story though just kind of gets shoved to the bottom where I forget about it when I'm stressed.
And I don't want to shove the story away. I think that's what you're trying to, it's like gaslight yourself. And what I'm wanting you to do is rather than pretending this isn't a problem, like I want you to say, like, yeah, my brain thinks this is a major problem. So if your brain is sitting there, let's pretend it is a toddler, but the toddler's not throwing a tantrum. Let's say it's a toddler who is scared to death.
Which is probably more accurate.
Yeah. Like, I'm really scared you don't know how to read this new director. And I'm really scared that if you don't get enough sleep, you're not going to be able to perform at work. Like, I don't think your brain is just like, hate going to bed early. This isn't fair. I really wanted to watch TV. Like, it's not doing that. It's coming from a
No.
deep, now it may sound like that at times for some of you, but usually tantrums are coming from fear almost always. And so we want to kind of get underneath and say, like, okay, I'm really just afraid of these things. And that is why my brain is like, oh, we don't have time to go to sleep. Like, if I don't sit here and just fixate on this, then how would you ever know what to watch out for tomorrow? Like, I should probably keep you awake. We need to run through every possible scenario just to make sure you don't do that shit. So.
Hypothetical hell.
Yeah. So if we think of our brain as like a scared toddler who swears there's something in the closet, I just know there's something in that closet. Now, we probably wouldn't go in and to the toddler and just say, now you're a strong little girl. I mean,
That would be
you've never
gaslighting.
gotten in trouble before. Like, you wouldn't talk to that toddler that way. How would you love, like, I want you to really think about if you were going to be understanding and compassionate and very patient to let your brain do what it needs to do. How would you
Well, I
talk
mean, with my,
to yourself then?
yeah, I mean, I have kids who are grown now, but when they're younger, I would do the opposite of how I was raised because I knew that was wrong. But I would validate them and say, yeah, it is scary. But I don't know if I'd say like maybe this is how you can learn and grow. You'll become a better person on the other side. I don't know if that would help me though. Just validating for sure, but I'm not sure what other.
I think validation goes a long way. I mean, just imagine what you've been doing is you've been trying to tell yourself, like, there's nothing wrong with telling yourself, you know, look, you're telling one side of the story, let me tell you the other side of the story. But I think when you combine, you know, like, I know this feels real for you. I understand why all this feels real for you. This is very new. It's not bad, it's just different. And when things are different, they almost always feel bad before they feel better.
Right.
And it's
That's
like
true.
in anything we do in life,
Mm-hmm.
anything we do for, like, you know, that's new to us and we have to learn it. It almost always feels horrible in the beginning simply because we're just not used to it. And sometimes we call ourselves names and sometimes we imagine the worst case scenarios and we do those things because it's new. And it's just like validating, like, I understand why you feel this way. And here's what I also know is true. It just kind of takes the temperature down a little bit for you. And I swear, if you only worked on bedtime, I would bet you it would bleed over to work. I bet you would find lots of places during your day where you're like, I understand why I'm afraid of my boss. I think she's hard to read. Is it that she's hard to read, or is it because it's just a new boss? I don't know how to read her yet. I haven't been around her long enough to read her. It's just like, you know, if I'm, you know, suddenly divorced Chris and tomorrow married somebody new, I wouldn't just be able to slide in and do all the things that Chris and I do. I wouldn't be able to just read that man exactly like I read Chris. I'd have to figure out, all right, how does he like to be talked to? And the only way I'm going to find out is by doing things and watching and paying attention. Or just asking, like, what is it that you would love to, what is it about your director right now that you feel like you would feel safe if you knew it?
Well, part of it is she's changing things up on the team, so I don't really know what my new role is, or if she sees a new role for me.
Have you just asked?
Yeah, I mean, I asked my boss, and I
Have
don't
you
know if
asked the
he quite
director?
knows. No.
Is there a reason why?
She scares me. I'm worried she'll think that I should know that already. Like, oh, it's the same as what you've always been doing, or she'll think I'm not doing
Is
enough and
it?
like, oh, why is my role here? Is what is my role?
Is it the same?
I mean, maybe expanded. She's taken some things away and assigned to another person. She wants, like, as managers, I guess she wants us to empower the team to do more independently. I guess part of it is I feel like if I follow down this path, then all my jobs are, all my responsibilities are outsourced, and then she'll figure out she doesn't need me.
So this is how I would approach this. This is just somebody who coaches lots of people on all kinds of job shit. Is I always think about when people are trying to find efficiencies, usually it's because they see that you're doing work that is not as valuable to the company, and they have like bigger roles for you. They have like more important things. Companies die because people will not let go of bullshit they really shouldn't be doing, but they keep them and they keep their little whoobies for job security. But then they can't produce for a company at the rate and the speed and the value the company needs. And so usually if you're very willing to let go of those things, you see, are seen more as a team player.
Yeah, no, I'm not going against it at all.
Well, this is the second step, though. You go to your boss and you say, I am so glad to be handing some of these things off. I have always wanted to do more. What do you what do you see for me? Where can I make your job easier? Are there things you've been wanting to get off your plate that maybe I can assume now because we are now offloading these things to me? You just get ahead of it. Like, I promise you, sitting around worrying about all of it doesn't make you a standout employee. Being someone who's proactive and says, let me be your right hand. Tell me what role you want me to play. I'm up for all the challenges. You go in being the person who says that, you're going to stand out above everybody else because I bet you everybody else is doing like you. Hand-wringing, chloral. Pearl clutching and hypothetical helling. That's usually what most people do in change situations. Very rarely, you will have people who are willing to step up and say, I love the direction this company is going in. Now, these things I don't have to do anymore. I want to know what can I do to make your job easier? What can I do to make this company more money? What would you love to see me doing that like would be a great opportunity for the company? And you put it back on the company over and over again.
Or the
I
team,
promise
because it's the team we lead, but yeah.
or the team. But you need to snuggle up to your boss and you need to be the one person who's not sitting around stewing, worrying, ruminating, pearl clutching, anxietying, and looking like a, long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs all day long. You need to look like the person who's unshakable, the person who is like, I am ready for new challenge. I don't know about you bitches. I'm ready for new challenges. In fact, I'm marching my happy ass into the boss's office and I'm gonna say like, hey, how can I help you? Like you do that and you stand out. If nothing else, it gives
Yeah.
you something to do other than clutch your pearls all day.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm sure she has so many ideas about how she wants to transform the team, and I think it's good stuff. So I'm sure she probably has would have some answers for me right away.
100%. I mean, just think about from her point of view, when you have 1,000 good ideas and you would love to have them implemented yesterday, but you seem to be the only one who wants to implement, everybody else is just sitting around waiting to be told what to do with their eyes wide open, then that means we got one thinker on the team. You come in, you're going to look like a fucking bottle of water in the middle of the Sahara Desert. You're going to be highly valuable. Take it from someone who is always leading the, that's why I got 36 things on my list and I haven't finished it yet. Because I'm the big ideas person. I am the one who strategizes. I am the one who like plans what all we're going to do and blah, 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 blah. And I almost always am surrounded by very hardworking people, but people don't tend to come to me and say, what could I take off your plate? Could you just take a look at all the things? I would love to be the person you give extra things to. I would love to, like, where do you see me fitting in? I very rarely have that experience. I'm not throwing y'all, I'm not throwing the team under the bus. It's just most people don't think like that. They are just good employees and they just need to be told what to do. The people who really have job security are the ones that don't have to be told what to do. They come to you to take a load off of you. I would never let somebody go. Like, if I had to lay people off, I would, you would be the last person on my list.
Because I showed initiative and was proactive.
Because you were my asset. Because you make me, my job easier. Because you make me look good. Don't forget, everybody's selfish. You're selfish. You're all me, me. I'm worried about me and how's this going to affect me and blah, blah, blah. Boss needs you to quit being so fucking selfish. She needs you to like come in the room like a lion and say like, hey, I'm ready to be a servant here. Like, what do you need? How do I make you look good to your boss? What you got going on that I could easily take off your plate right now? I want that.
Yeah, I love that. I love that actually. I don't know why I didn't think of it.
Well, you didn't. Tell me why you didn't think of it. There's an easy answer.
Oh no. Do I know the answer? Well, it's
It was
something I've
one of the
never really
first words
done.
you said.
I've never done it before. Scared. Nervous, I guess, anxiety about it.
When we are when we are stressing ourselves out, are we creative?
Oh no,
Or
that
are
part of
we
our brain
just
shuts off.
searching for, right, we shut that part. The creative part of our brain is the logical side. The scared, anxious, all of that shit. That's like the logical brain's like, well, I'm gonna go over here. I'll be napping. Wake me up when you're ready to think again. And I'll give you tons of ideas. But when you're like, if you don't do the part where you are like calming yourself down, then the solution part of your brain can't come back to the table. The solution part of your brain has to leave in high stress situations. The part of your brain that just is reacting and it's just going to react the way you always do, that's the part of the brain that says, oh, I feel imminent danger. So we don't need logic in imminent danger. We need reaction in imminent danger. And your brain right now thinks your job situation and the changes is imminent danger. So that's why it's really good for you to be taking your stress levels down, having that conversation with yourself each night, validating your feelings, reminding yourself this is all new. That's why you feel the way you do. Here's also what you're really good at. Let's get our rest because we are going to sit in traffic tomorrow, but we get to work every day. So even if we're not getting enough sleep, we're handling it. Our ADHD is not standing in our way. Because that's the truth. Your ADHD has nothing to do with it right now. Otherwise, you wouldn't, if ADHD was really a problem, you wouldn't be able to get to work.
Right.
You're
I mean, if
overcoming
anything,
it.
yeah. If anything, it helps. It strengthens in some ways because it would. I wouldn't tell her I have this, but it people with ADHD brains, they're just faster at making connections, coming up with solutions. Just they're
Yeah.
just quicker at things at some things. So, okay. Think of it that way. It helps.
Everybody tells me I need to be tested for it. I swear, so many people say I need to be tested because I'd have never been, but if you saw like my computer, my 40,000 tabs I love to have open, and if you saw like how much I context switch all the time and like little noises, like I mean, I about have to work in a tomb in order to be able to work.
Oh,
Otherwise,
interesting. Yeah. Well, I figured it out because my perimenopause was making it worse. So it was just harder to cope. That's usually when a lot of women find out.
yeah. So just take some of this like into
Mm-hmm.
consideration that the more you work on calming yourself down by listening to how you're talking about things, and can you talk about things in a little bit different way? Can you see things through a new perspective? Then the threat levels go down in your head, and that makes it possible for logic to come back. Because the only reason why I could think of that versus you is you're thinking your life is a problem, and I'm thinking this isn't that big of a deal. You're supposed to kind of freak out when things change. And, if they're taking things off your plate, that means your plate is free. So instead of like hiding and hoping you're never found out, which is very scary, which will just fuel more anxiety, it's like stand up and say, I got time to help you, boss. How can I make you look good today? What do you need?
Yeah, no,
Okay.
exactly. The hiding just made it worse.
Hiding never feels good, ever. Like,
Yeah.
watch any
Yeah.
horror movie. When they're hiding, nobody looks relaxed.
I remember that one. All right, thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. All right. Thank
Have a
you.
good one. Thanks. Bye. Two.
All right. Lisa. I discovered a thought today that I did not know I had, and realizing this kind of thinking was a bit of a shock and also kind of sad. I woke up fancying a vanilla protein shake like a milkshake. I started preparing the shake and thought about adding strawberries as well, and thought, I don't deserve these nor the shake. Where would you take this? I think my inner child mostly thinks it needs to work, be efficient, should not need breaks, nice things, especially before achieving anything. Honestly, I think you've already done the hard part. You just noticed it. And it reads like you have a really good idea as to why you're doing it. And now we just say like, oh, that's like, I like my boss or my boss, my mentor always called it a thought error. We have thought errors all the time. I'll give you a good one. So I'm sitting in church. I don't know why, but all my thought errors ha happen in church. And I swear to God, there was this little kid walking by, and I just thought, ugh, what an ugly outfit. Like, I literally was judging a small child in what they were wearing in church of all places. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh my God. Like, I said, you shouldn't think that way. That is terrible. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute. You just had a fleeting thought. This does not make you a bad person. It like in my mind, and it's quick summary, some like the way it thinks, just saw a kid, didn't like their outfit, and was like, what an ugly outfit. Like that doesn't make me morally bad, but for a moment, I felt like a terrible person, like, oh my God, I'm in the Lord's house judging small children on what they wear. And not suddenly I'm feeling shame. And I was like, okay, take a deep breath. This isn't that big of a deal. We have thought errors all the time. And so, like in this case, I would just say, like, I'm so glad I noticed that because this is just a shake. This really doesn't have anything to do with deserving. This is where you get to rewire that. You get to just say, oh, I caught this thought. I'm glad I did. This, like having a strawberry shake, protein shake, has nothing to do with being deserving. But I can see why my brain would somehow just make connections like that. And we move on and we drink the shake. And that's literally all you got to do. I think a lot of y'all, like the problem here is I find a thought, oh my God, what does this mean about me? It doesn't mean anything. Almost every thought means nothing about you. Sometimes we explore where they came from, but we want to explore it from curiosity because we might just want to be curious as to why would I think like this a lot? And it's like, oh, this is why. Just having those realizations is the most freeing thing you'll ever experience. But if you're not thinking every thought, like, ooh, whenever I have a bad thought, that, like, I gotta stop having those. Otherwise, I can't, blah, blah, blah. That's the problem thought. It's not the original one. It is the one you have about your thinking. If you think your thoughts are problems, you're gonna feel worse. And then you're gonna be trying to solve for having perfect thoughts all the time in order to be able to do the things you need to do. No one needs perfect thoughts to do the things that they need to do. You just don't need to give 90% of your thoughts near as much attention as you do. Okay, what we got going on, Lisa?
Hey, Corinne. I'm okay. So I have a therapist, and I've been going through a shitty ass school year where if I won the lottery, I would walk out in a heartbeat.
Okay.
So my therapist says, "Well, I think you're depressed." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah." And she's like, "Quit beating yourself up with food." And she knows me. We've been together for a very long time. I do have bipolar disorder. I'm very well medicated and very well maintained on that. And I know the difference between bipolar and regular depression, and it's just been my lifestyle. And then, sorry. I'm just flipping through reels on Saturday and came up with Mel Robbins, and she is talking with David Kessler. And I think that, yeah, I do have depression over what's happening at school. But I think that I also am grieving. Because at this point in the school year, I truly don't think there's anything I can do for several of my students.
Okay.
In November, I took a week off due to stress, and I posted about that. And then I went back to school and immediately ended up with pneumonia. And got through that and made it through the holidays and immediately came down for the very first time in 6 years. I got COVID, and I got that from one of my students because parents don't leave their little shits home. But I have 17 students now. I started out with 21, but some have moved. Out of that 17, seven of them have various forms of ADHD, and other things that are not diagnosed that make them behavior problems to the point that other staff members come up to me on the daily basis. Are you okay? Do you need me to take somebody from you today? So I have a good support system there. And I have evidence that I'm doing my job well. Because the 10 who are not little shitheads are doing really good things. And even some of my kids who are shitheads are doing really good things. We do these tests every They're called trimester tests. And I have kids who have grown 37, 47, 57 points in reading and math over a trimester. And that is fucking out of this world. It is amazing beyond amazing.
So what's the problem then?
I am so overwhelmed with those seven kids. And it seems like after I got the worst one, I finally got him into therapy. After that point, well, a couple of things happened. So I got him into therapy, and it seemed like the push in help to help keep him and a couple of the others in line dried up. And so I am coming home and I am sleeping for 4 hours. And then I'm not sleeping at night. And then I can't wake up in the morning and I'm forcing myself up. I'm not getting my water in. I'm not getting proper sleep.
Why are you not getting your water in?
I'm just not drinking anything.
So that's one thing you could easily do, though.
Yeah.
I
But
mean,
I have a big bottle of water that I got from the gym. So two good things I have not given up on. I've not given up on the gym. I've not given up on my garden walks. But I have a
okay,
big
let me
bottle of
ask you
water that
this.
I got from the gym, and I've only drank probably about a cup out of it.
Okay, so let me just ask you something. We got the seven kids. And it sounds like this situation is not going to change between now and the end of the year, and you can't quit, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So now tell me what the real problem is. Because everything that you've told me so far is I have these seven kids. I'm just going to use your words. They're little shits. They have a variety of problems. They're going to be part of my life between now and the end of the school year. Correct?
Correct.
Okay, now I need to know what the problem is. In your mind, what is the problem? Like in one sentence, if you could describe it.
I'm not taking care of me.
Okay, now we need to figure out why. What does these seven kids, that's part of your job, that are little shits, that will be with you until the end of the year, in your mind, why does that cause you to not take care of yourself? What do they even have to do with each other?
My therapist would say, there are things in them that I'm seeing that were me.
Okay, so let's just, that's another fact. Okay, well, and let me ask you this before we put that into the fact category. We're going to use the fact that your therapist says this, but just because your therapist says it, do you want that to be part of it? Because you get to decide.
No, I want the chaos. I don't want the chaos. I mean, and there's
That's the
nothing I
biggest
can do
problem.
about
Now,
that.
that is the problem. Okay. The thought that's actually giving you the most hell right now is I don't want the chaos. That's not possible unless you quit. So, you sitting around saying I don't want the chaos is a bold-faced lie. Because the chaos is part of getting paid. It's just part of the job. Am I wrong?
No.
Yeah, you can't just get rid of the kids, right? I mean, if you could, you probably would have done that a long time ago and said, like, take these back. These don't work. I like, can you send me new ones that like have fresh batteries? That's what I need. If that's not going to happen, and Lisa's not going to win the lottery anytime soon, and Lisa's not going to quit either, then telling yourself, I don't want the chaos, is a very painful lie. It makes you feel resistant. It makes you feel frustrated. It probably makes you feel helpless. There's probably a lot of feelings that come along with that thought. Now, the truth is, I don't like the chaos, but it's part of this job. So if it's part of the job, then I have to figure out how do I take care of myself, knowing part of my job is to deal with chaos every single day? Because right now, you think if I just didn't have the chaos, then I could take care of myself. And that's fantasy land thinking. It's just fantasy land. It's not coming. The lottery ain't coming, and neither is the chaos going away coming. The chaos will go away on the last day of the school year. So, whenever we live in a fantasy and we keep trying to live in a fantasy, we don't help ourselves. That's why you're not taking care of yourself. You've probably set it up in your brain that I would be able to take care of myself if I didn't have these seven kids, or if these things would go away, instead of, this is all part of my reality. The reality is I'm going to go to school every day, and these seven kids are going to be there, and I have a support system, but some days are going to be really tough, and I've got to solve for how I take care of myself through that. I've got to think about what are all the ways that I take care of myself, knowing this is my reality. It would be like if you had a really hungry child living in some third world country, sitting there every day saying, I shouldn't be this hungry. There should just be food everywhere. Their reality is there's no food, and there's no food coming. And to sit there and think it should be would be very frustrating. But to sit there and just be like, this, the reality is I'm going to be hungry every day, and I need to figure out how to live a life where I'm going to be hungry every day. That's why they always say, like in third world countries, very often third world countries are some of the happiest people because they don't have expectations that things should be different. They just are like really close to their family. And they have nothing, but they don't think it should be different. Our problem is when we think things should be different than reality, we set ourselves up for a lot of misery. So let's problem solve for how do you want to think about school? Because right now you have a lot of thoughts that are going to lead you to not take care of yourself. A lot of your thoughts are very victim. Like, these kids are doing things to me. Like, this shouldn't be happening. I don't want this chaos. I shouldn't have this chaos. My job, you probably have a thought like, my job should be easier. Like, all of us have like all these fantasy things when
Yeah, this
reality
job is never
staring us,
easier.
say what?
I said this job never is easier.
No.
It fluctuates all the time with
Yeah.
each setup that you have.
Yes, exactly. This is your reality. This isn't a
And
problem. This is just the
it is.
job, you
Yeah.
know? They'd be like working on a factory line thinking, I don't know, when are they going to quit sending things through? Jesus. It seems like it never stops. It's like it doesn't. You're on a factory line. So it's like for you, I just want you to think like the way you're describing your job, you describe it as if these are problems. And I want you to start thinking like, what if this is the way the job just is? Like it is supposed to be different every year. It is always going to have standout students. It's always going to have students who are not.
And it is that way. I mean, this is my 40th year. I am 4 years until I retire.
Yeah.
And which is like, yay. But I never thought that my end of my years would be, oh my God, I can't wait. 'Cause I loved teaching. I really loved teaching. And even the little shits that I've had, I love them, and I usually love them the most.
Yeah. Well,
And
this is the thing. The next 4 years, if you love teaching, I want to like throw this at you. If you really love teaching, you love the bad days too. Because bad days are part of teaching. Shitty kids are part of teaching. It's just like for me, it like in order for me to love helping women lose weight, I also have to love customer complaints. I also have to love the women that it takes a long time for them to be able to lose their weight. I have to love every one of you that regains weight. I mean, I could just easily be like, fuck y'all, what is wrong with you? I mean, I gave you videos. Bitches, are you not like watching them? Like, I have to love every piece. I have to love when people write in and say, I don't like the way you, I don't like your haircut. I have to love the duty part of it because that's
Yeah, it's
part of
just a
the job.
constant war zone, especially between like five of them of the seven. It
So
feels
when they're warring, what does it
it's
feel like?
constant.
For you,
So
give me the one word emotion when they're warring.
you know when you are up doing a presentation in front of everybody
Yeah.
and you've got people talking
Yeah.
nonstop in front of you.
Yeah.
So take that down to a smaller room, okay? And they're intentionally w talking over your words louder than your words.
Okay, but let me ask you this. What is that? How does it make you feel when that happens?
Irritated.
Okay, and why are you irritated? What is your thought?
They're not learning, and the kids who are there to learn are not learning because they're not hearing it. But I've got data that proves that some of them are
Okay,
actually
so
living
your
in the war
thought is
zone
a
too.
lie. Your thought is a lie. So you don't have to irritate yourself so much. You actually have data that says even when some are talking, the ones who want to learn will figure out how to learn. You have data. You just told me I got
I
data
have data.
that shows. I mean, you told me you got a lot of kids in there that are doing really well and all this other stuff. So you don't get to have it both ways. We don't get to be
No.
irritated. So what we want to do is we want to tell ourselves the truth because you're going home and having to sleep for 4 hours because you're thinking, this is what I think probably happens, Lisa. You got these seven, and they're talking, and you're trying to teach, and now you're irritated, which I think irritation is normal because I wouldn't want people talking while I'm talking either. Okay. But you're not just irritated. Now you're worried. Well, these kids are going to suffer. When your data is showing that's not happening. Now, and probably what also happens is that when you think these kids are going to suffer, now there's probably some type of internal, what we call the psychological problem. And when they suffer, when these kids suffer, that means I'm not doing a good job. It means I'm letting them down. It means something about me. I should do better, whatever that is. And that is self-inflicted wounds. That is what stresses us out. That is what really makes jobs hard, is when we take something that's not personal and we turn it into something personal. It's like you have got kids that are going to talk, and you are going to every day go and teach, and you are going to figure out how to best reach your students. And you're going to rinse and repeat for the next 4 years. And some days it's going to be irritating because you're going to have kids that are little shits. But if you don't make it something mean something about you, and you don't spend a lot of time in hypothetical hell, which yours is, if they would just stop, then all these amazing things would happen. And if there wasn't chaos and it shouldn't be this way, that's also a hypothetical hell. It's just a different flavor. It's painting the picture of fantasy land. And when we do that, then we don't problem solve for ourselves. Why would you take care of yourself? You would have no reason to. But if every day you walk in and you're like, I got seven that are going to be disruptive, and I'm going to do my best to reach every student today. And I've got 40 years of experience. I'm guaranteeing these seven can't do anything I haven't seen in 40 years. Good luck, you little shits, on surprising mama. I got way more experience of assholes in my belt, under my belt, than you are ever going to get creative at the age of whatever they are. Like, if you went in like that each day, it wouldn't bother you to the level it's bothering you right now. I'm not saying every day would be rainbows and daisies, but if you're turning into this into, this means I'm not doing a good enough job, or this means I'm letting some students down. I think you need to tell yourself the truth, and you need to say, like, look, a teacher who worries this much is never letting students down. She's probably killing herself to reach every student. And it really sounds like that's literally what's happening. I am killing myself for these kids. And we have to figure out how not to do that anymore. How do we just be the amazing teacher that you are and that doesn't require you compromising yourself to do it? Because I would bet you it is in your bones to take care of kids. You don't need the self-sacrifice to do it. What are you thinking?
So many things. Get hydrated. Work on sleep. Order some stuff that I don't have to think about for lunches. And then don't worry about dinner. Dinner will just fall in for right now.
Yeah.
Have breakfast and lunch while I am working. It's not like I don't know how to do the program. I just let it go. I think I need to get hydrated first.
I do too. I think you really should, and I think it's the lowest hanging fruit. It doesn't require a lot of energy to drink water. It just requires remembering. And every time you drink the water, just remind yourself, like, this is me taking care of me. I can do my job and take care of myself. Like, you've got 40 years of experience.
Yeah, I do.
You know you can do your job and take care of yourself. There's literally nothing these kids can throw at you that you probably haven't experienced, that you haven't already overcome, that at some point, some other little shit acted, you even said it, some other they remind you of some other past previous shithead that ended up being one of your favorite students.
They just weren't all lumped together in one room.
No, but who better
Easier
to
when you
have?
can focus on one at a time.
But let me ask you this. Who better to have seven of them than a woman who has 40 years of experience teaching? What do you want them in a 24-year-old's room who has no experience?
No,
Zero? No.
they would run.
And you won't.
They would run.
Right. And you need to remind yourself, I would never run from this. I actually love teaching. Just sometimes I'm irritated, but I'm reaching students. I always have, and I always will until I finally retire. It's just who I am. I like, but I think you need to remind yourself more of who you are. I think you have forgotten who you are. I think you've gotten too caught up in, this is irritating, and these seven are ruining this. And it's like, no, these seven are not ruining anything. These seven are just hard to manage, and sometimes I have really good help around me. I'm not used to having to deal with seven at a time, but I have dealt with hundreds over my 40 years. And you are helping them, even if it doesn't sometimes feel like it. You need to always remind yourself.
Even if it's not academic, they're making progress somewhere else.
Exactly. And sometimes the best progress they
Damn,
can make
sounds like
is
no
not.
BS.
Exactly. It's just like a lot of you make so much, like it takes a while to make progress in other areas before you make progress in your weight loss, but that doesn't diminish the progress that has to be made in other areas first. And it might be happening with these kids. Maybe they need a teacher like you who understands that it's not all academics.
Amen to that.
So the main thing I want you to walk away though with is there's the kids and there's the reality of my job. Like all of these things that are happening are just like that is literally the contract I sign every year. I have always signed up to have problem children. I have always signed up for chaos. I mean, in my mind, I'm like anybody like that'd be like, I don't even know. Like, I think if you're a teacher, you signed up for chaos. It'd be like saying, well, I wanted to be an emergency room doctor. I just didn't realize there would be so many emergencies.
Girl, one of my boys, I started recruiting him when he was in second grade because I knew he would be in my room. And he is one of the hardest. And I checked in and checked out with him every single day when he was in second grade. I was making those connections with him and with his mama because I knew where he was going to end up. And his mom, and mom didn't know where he was going to end up, but mom requested that he was in my room.
So when you say, I don't want the chaos, another reason why you lied through your teeth to me. You wanted him from the second grade. You wanted little chaos. You were just like,
Wanted him. I didn't want the other one. I didn't need both of them. I'm the
well,
flower that attracts the chaos bees.
probably, well, if you're attracting them, it's probably because you're best suited to handle them. We literally bring to us the things that are supposed to be in our lives. There are reasons why, Lisa, this is happening. It has nothing to do with it being unfortunate or bad or whatever. I think you need, like, I'm so big on perspective. And when I hear you talk, on one hand, I hear this pride and this inner knowing that you're a great teacher and that you change kids' lives. And then on the other side, I hear this like, I shouldn't ever be put in a situation to demonstrate how great of a teacher I am. It's like,
It's been one hell of a frustrating year.
So do some, like, I would encourage you, if you want to do some journaling, do some journaling on, here's the parts of this year where the frustration came from me. Because all of the things that you could own, that's like, it's because I keep thinking about it like this. It's because, like, of these things, anything you can own, you now can change.
That makes sense.
If you don't own it, you can't change it. Not easily. You know, sometimes if it's like, let's say you had like a kid who was just like way out there and they literally needed a new program, and you went to your principal and said, like, hey, I've been working with little Johnny here and he's really not suited for my class. He really should be in this type of class or whatever. Like, I just think that we're doing him a disservice. And here's all the things I've done for him. You know, they may or may not change him in those kinds of situations, though. There's, you have a shot at changing something externally, but almost always in life, there's not a, like, a lot of the times our ability to control and our ability to change is all the things going on inside of us. And that's why I always have y'all start there first, because anything you can take responsibility for, like, here's the ways that I stress myself out. You know, when I'm over worrying, when I'm taking too much blame, when I'm doing this, when I'm not drinking my water, like, these are all things. It's like, oh, if I'm doing it, now I can, like, I can get coaching on it. I can work with my therapist on it. There's things for me I can change for myself. You listed off several things to make your life easier. And that feels empowering. That's where we start feeling like we have control and chaos again. But if it's all happening to me, and I'm just going to have to take it in the, I read something recently that said, the dildo of consequences always comes unlubed. And I'm just like, that's what ends up happening when we are sitting around and we are like, all these things are happening to me. That's like saying the dildo of the world is coming to me unlubed. And it's like, we're going to have to go buy Vaseline. Because, like, we're gonna have to do something about this. So if we can, like, start looking at where are the places where I know I'm the problem, that means I'm the solution. And always start with those things first, because let's say every day is a level 10 stress level, and then you remove at least four levels of stress because it was all self-inflicted. Then you go to work every day. Now we're only dealing with a level six, which will feel so much better than a level 10. Is six great? No, but it's a lot better than 10. It's more manageable. And then usually when you take it down that much, you start finding the things that at first you didn't think you could change. And then you're like, huh, well, if I can feel that much better just doing these things, I wonder what else might be things that I can change. So let's try that, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. If
I
nothing else,
almost
look at
didn't call.
well, look at your face every day and just say, you are a great teacher. These kids are here for a reason. Today, I want to find the reason why the universe chose me to deal with them and find a good reason, because there's a, I would bet you there's many in there, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Bye.
Bye.
What is so funny, when I was a kid, I just knew I wanted to be a teacher. So I used to make my brother play school. Could y'all imagine me as a teacher? I'd be rough as a cob. Talk about the dildo of consequences. I don't have a lot of patience for the children's. Apparently, I had enough patience for my one. Oh, so I decided to teach adults. I'm on day four of a binge. How do I stop? Here's what I would do. I would immediately go to the binge support group inside Facebook. We have a whole group, and I would tag Coach Betsy and say, I'm in the middle of a 4 day binge. Can you help me? Or go to Ask Coaches, and I would tell them there and tell them, like, why you think you're binging. Like, what do you think is going on for you? This is one of those things where it's hard to just throw the question out into a Q&A and for me to be able to give you good advice, other than number one, I promise you do not need to be ashamed over it. Every single person who binge eats is somewhere on the inside, there is like an emotional crisis happening, or there is some type of emotional threat happening, and we turn to food to fix it. It is our learned pattern. It does not mean that you're broken. It doesn't mean that you're bad. It does not mean anything other than there's something going on in me that when it started, felt like it needed saving, felt like it needed numbing, it felt like it needed relief. It like something was happening. And you don't even have to know what it is right now. You just need to know that all binges start that way. They always start that way. They don't start for any reason other than something triggered me. And it could be emotional. There could be many things. But the best way to stop the binging is literally to have a really good cry and to tell yourself, I am not broken. There's nothing to be ashamed of, even though I do feel a lot of shame. Binge eaters always feel a lot of shame. And when it keeps going, it's usually not because you probably get through the initial crisis of whatever was the initial trigger. But what keeps it going is you eat and then you feel ashamed that you did it and you beat yourself up. And then we end up eating more so that we don't have to listen to ourselves. We don't have to feel the, like my best friend calls it bingeflammation. Whenever she binges, all of a sudden she feels fat and she feels gross and her clothes don't fit. There's like all these things that happen. And so now your body is triggering. And so every time something is tight, something is whatever, it reminds you of like, oh my God, and you did it again. And like your brain, it just starts getting into this loop. Taking a day to care for yourself, to say, you deserve a day to take care of yourself. I'm going to wear like very stretchy clothes. I will not look in mirrors today. I am going to drink plenty of water. I'm going to rest if that's what I most need. I will cry if that's what I most need. Like, just reminding yourself, like, I do not need to be punished over this. Something's going on inside me that needs healing. And until I know how to heal it, my body thinks eating is a really good way to get through this. That is literally all that's going on. So, like, first, we just kind of have to have that little talk with ourselves, like this got started for a reason, and I don't need to solve that right now. Second is like, how do I break out of the shame? That doesn't mean that your brain won't think of the shameful thoughts. You just want to hear them and say, and I'm working on not feeling ashamed about this. I'm just working on what is the best way to take care of myself right now? Because usually we're not even having that conversation when we're in the throes of binging. Then I would just go to Ask Coaches, or I would go to Coach Betsy in the Facebook group. You are not alone. And that is the other big thing. You're not alone in this. There are many women who binge for days and days and days. My own best friend is a binge coach and recently had a really tough time. She got injured. There was like all these things that were happening. She had 2 to 3 weeks where she was just binging for 2 to 3 days. And now she's on the other side of it. And it was hard for her, but I watched her over and over again give herself grace, give herself rest, and remind herself that she will get through this, that she is not a bad person because of it. And I just think that's really important. You are not alone in this. Plenty of people. Even those of us who don't binge, I've never been a binge eater, but back in my day, I would have days where I just ate like shit. I would say I was going to lose weight, and then something like would happen where I'd get stressed out or I'd have a bad day or something like that. And I'd eat like one McDonald's meal. And the next thing I knew, it was like 4 days of just ordering pizza, like just basically fuck it eating. I wasn't necessarily binge eating, but I also wasn't like, auto-correcting. I wasn't asking what I needed. And it's like once it starts, the only way to slow it down literally is to just take a day to just know, like, I'm just going to cry. There's a really good reason why this happened. I'll figure it out when I get through the feelings part of it. Because you don't have to solve that right now. But I would highly encourage you to get help from either Coach Betsy over in the bench group or to go to Ask Coaches. They will save it for Betsy. If you prefer to work with Betsy, she's our bench expert. She just wrote a brand new bench course. It's going to be releasing soon. I think she's coming in a couple of weeks to film it here with me. So for all of our binge eaters, that's going to be coming out probably around sometime in like April or May. It takes us a little bit to get it all filmed, to get the assets built and everything. It won't be a monthly thing that we do. We're just going to update the membership site for all of our binge eaters. Okay. Christy? I've worked on just telling myself I am busy and rushing myself. I write in my journal almost daily that I have plenty of time and making choices about how to use the time, yet end up in anxiety, rushing around. Listen to Kathy's 365 meditation again and again. I have ideas on just how to slow down, phone reminders, but will it ever stick? Wendy, it's just the next thing I think you need to do is when you get in, when you need to get good at seeing yourself when you're rushing and then slowing that down. So we need to like interrupt the rushing. And in the moment when you're doing it, because the truth is, we all have plenty of time. That is just a universal truth. Every single person always has plenty of time to get the things done that they absolutely need to get done. It is very rare that I see somebody walk in, I honestly never seen it, where somebody comes in and says, Corinne, I didn't have time to get everything done that had to be done. So I got evicted from my house. My car was taken away and my children died. There are things that have to get done. And then there are things we think we should be doing. There are our expectation things. But if we all look at our life, if it gets important enough, what happens? Suddenly we do it. It's just like I don't do dishes until they're so stacked and so crazy that we start running out of dishes. I don't do it until then. And I never tell myself, I don't have time to do the dishes right now. I'm just like, I ain't doing the dishes until they become an emergency. In my world, that's not a priority. My priority is this call. My priority is my work. And dishes, they bubble up to the top. Like I don't feed the cats until the bowl's damn near empty. Then I have time to feed cats. It's just suddenly we always make time for things that are truly important to us. And that is usually what always is happening. Now, do we all wish we had more time to do more things? It's just like my big ass list of stuff. You know what I trust inherently? Everything on that list will get done that has to get done. There will probably be things on that list that won't get done because when I get going and I notice I'm going to run out of time, I'm going to be like, that can wait. And that can wait. That's going to have to wait. Oh, we're just not going to do that. That was a good idea, but now we're not going to do that. We, all of us, do that. It's just some of us, like for me, I just think about it that way. And y'all are doing the same thing, and you're telling yourself the story, I should have done more. I'm dropping balls. It's like, I doubt it. If I really did an audit of your life, you're really not. You'd like to do more things, but you always get what needs to be done, done. Things that matter do get done. And that's just the way humans are. Okay. What we got, Christy?
Can you hear me? See me? Okay. So I think my biggest thing is Besides the fact that I am beating my, the biggest thing is that I'm a good beater upper of myself internally. I have dealt with depression for many, many years. I've been on medication for many years, which does help. I think one of the things I'm really beating myself up as, and I know that you've said don't do that, is with the scale not moving. And I think another one is that when I was there have been times when I have, and this is not to mock or downplay people that deal with eating disorders as far as anorexia, bulimia, and all that. But I have like had these irrational thoughts of I'm failing if I can't, like I'm trying to punish myself. And I'm like, I'm trying to, think, okay, I'm just gonna starve myself, whatever. And obviously we're not supposed to do that. But that's what I feel like, and then if I suddenly then start eating, I'm just like, oh, I'm failing that. And I know that sounds completely irrational, which when I'm in my depression, obviously that's irrationality. But that's the thing, is that I think punishing myself is the hardest thing that I'm dealing with. That and lack of sleep. I'm got to work on my sleep. Water, I'm doing well, but
When you
lack of
say
sleep.
punishing yourself, what does that look like?
Skipping meals, but there can be things that people say to me, or things that that somebody says to me that I just like immediately attack myself. I can be in my bed for days. I mean, I get out to do things I have to do, but I mean, I like retreat to my bed.
Okay.
I mean, like a couple weeks ago, for example, a couple weeks ago with my Bible study, I've got my daughter, my first older daughter, who is has stopped coming to church. She's dealing with her sexuality, which is, which again, I'm not downplaying, but it's just very, very difficult. And she has stopped coming to church because we, anyway, because of anyway, she's and so somebody at my Bible study said something to me as far as, well, at least, at least she can't, because she has a daughter that's had a baby out of wedlock. And she's like, well, at least, she can't get pregnant and or won't get pregnant. And it just, she didn't say for the group. She texted me. And it just hurt me so much. And to the point, we didn't have group last week because of Ash Wednesday, but we're having it this Wednesday. And I am like talking to myself saying, I'm not going to go back there. I talk too much, and I shouldn't be asking for prayer requests. And I know that's just the devil. But that's the thing, is that I just internalize. People have said to me, you're too much. You're too much.
So let me ask you this, since you're religious, I just heard something interesting in church this morning. Don't you think when you're attacking yourself, that's the devil?
Definitely. Definitely.
So why don't you just say, get out of here, devil?
I
That's literally
do.
what our priest said today. He was
I
just
do.
like,
Well,
devil,
so did
get.
our priest. It was so funny. He was talking about Jesus in the desert, and he was like, get
That's
behind
what
me,
we were talking
Satan.
about
And I was like,
today.
I do that all the time. Get
Okay,
behind me,
so let me ask
Satan.
you this.
Yes.
Why were you hurt that she said, at least she can't get pregnant? Because that's not a hurtful statement.
Well, for one, because I mean, I would love to, not that everybody gets married, has children, or whatever, but I love my daughter, but it's been very hard dealing with her homosexuality. Very, very difficult.
That's
And
fine,
again,
but I just want to know why, though. At least she can't get pregnant. What thought did you have that said, that hurts me?
because hold on, let me think. Probably because I felt like she was being the woman that said it was being very uncompassionate, and just like.
Okay, so that's good to know. Your thought was she's not being compassionate.
Right.
Is that true?
She did come back and apologize, texted me, and
No,
she
let's
said
just take
that,
the thought. Let's just take the
no,
thought.
probably not. Lord knows I have
Tell
said
me.
things that I didn't mean, that came
But
out the wrong
I
way.
think she meant it.
No, that's true. She actually, you're right, because she actually said, ever since you started telling us about this, which I wear my heart on my sleeve, so I had told them about this the first week Bible study, and she said, ever since that time, I've had that thought of like everybody has it worse off, blah blah blah, and all that. And I thought, so she's been thinking that. That's why I wanted to hide and not go to Baptist, because I thought that must be what everybody else is thinking. Is like Christy, because I am one that, well, as soon as I feel like I need a prayer request, I will get on there and say, please pray for whatever. And I thought, okay, I'm just not going to do that anymore. And I know that sounds extremely irrational. And obviously, that's the devil, because he doesn't want me to go to Bible study, And so that, you're right, that is true, because she recognized it, that she said it in a mean way,
She
but.
didn't say it in a mean way. I'm going to tell you right now. We're going to take the. I want you to think about just from the text. At least she can't get pregnant. In your mind, you were hurt. Now,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
let's think
Yes.
about what else could she, if she wasn't trying to be hurtful, what do you think she was actually trying to be?
She did say in her text that she was trying to help me. She said that she's noticed how down I have been and how this is very hurting me, and that
Yeah.
it's and so she said, I'm just trying to help. I do think that she was trying to come from a place of helping. It just.
Yes. She would let's just think about this. You put out the prayer request or you put out your thing, and she's like, amazing. I'm going to hurt her right now. At least she can't get pregnant. She wasn't sitting there trying to be malicious, like most people. They're just responding in a way that they think is helpful. And sometimes we take what they think would be helpful, we turn it around and we think, no, that actually hurts. And it's just good to see. It doesn't mean she is right or wrong. It doesn't mean you are right or wrong. All I want you to see for your sake is when I have feelings, I want to check because you have said several times, I know I'm not rational at times. I know that I suffer with depression, like these kinds of things, which you're like me. I've been diagnosed as bipolar. I have suffered with depression all my life since I was 14 years old. I know these things about me. I know my brain jumps to conclusions really fast, faster than I'm going to see it. What I
Exactly.
also notice, though, and I'm really good at is because I'm such a feelings person. I know when I'm butthurt. I know when I'm ashamed. I know when I'm anxious. I know when I'm worried. That's not happening without my consent. My thinking happens without my consent a lot, but how I feel and how I show up based upon how I feel like I am the world's foremost expert. I'm very attuned to it. I'm just like, oh my God, I'm eating. It's because I'm stressed. And I am really good to put it down because I just understand it's like, Corinne, if you're really stressed, I know it's because your mind's running wild with something. Corinne, I know when you're hurt, 9 times out of 10, it's because you've read into something. And you need to kind of slow down for a minute. And I mean, that could be for a whole day. It's like what I do with my husband. I really trust this thought. I know my husband well enough to know he's never trying to hurt me. He's never trying to anger me. I know he loves me, but I also know he is not touchy-feely. He is not words of affirmation. He loves to be alone. I have gotten to know these situations so that when I'm feeling angry or hurt at him, I always pump the brakes and I don't react anymore. Because 9 times out of 10, he's not hurt me. He's not intentionally not loving me or whatever my old story has been. I've gotten really good at pausing there so that I have time to process and think. And I think that might be where you might want to kind of take some time to do some journaling on, which is like, what are really good signals in my body of when I am probably like overreacting or jumping to conclusions or making something mean something it's not? So, like for you, it could be you said, if I catch myself skipping meals, I probably know I'm overreacting to something. If I catch myself punishing myself, I'm probably overreacting to something, or I'm feel like I'm interpreting something in a way that's not probably the way it was meant. Now, that does not mean that we always are misinterpreting, but if you're like me, I swear 90% of the time, I misinterpret things. Just, and I am a master certified life coach with 11 years of 10 years of master coach this, 11 years of life coachness, and a lot of experience. And if Corinne is 90% of the time when she has big feelings, it's all up in here and not really happening, I guarantee you, y'all are at least at 95%. But that's just how brains are wired. We're very wired to operate the same way we always operate until we get really good at forming a new pattern with our thinking. And I just wonder if it would be helpful for you in certain situations. It's like your first thought was, I'm good at beating myself up,
Yeah,
which
I'm a
feels
mastermind at
true.
that.
Right, that's what you said,
No, I know.
except we don't want to be a master at it. We want to say, I'm becoming the kind of woman who knows when she's doing it. So you can do different.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I wonder what it would be like for you, Christy, if you spent like the next few weeks just really getting to know yourself. What is it like for me when I feel hurt? Like, what could I know? Like the next time I hear my brain going like, oh my God, I shouldn't do this. Like, and you have a really good, you actually have like a really good signal right now because you are religious and you're like you can kind of easily say, like, I think that might be the devil's work. Well, yeah, like that's a high sign for you to say, like, okay, I don't want to react the way I always do. I want to get to know, what kind of thoughts do I have? And I want to get to know, what kind of feelings do I have? And right now, I just don't want to react at all. I just want to push a pause button and say, I know my temptation is to punish myself. And so, what I really want to do is I want to say, like, I want to figure out how to push pause. There will be no punishing. I may feel gross because I'm not going to probably clean up how I'm feeling and thinking right now. But I gotta find my first intervention point. I gotta get used to mitigating my damage. So, like the way I do it with my husband is if, particularly when I'm angry, I get angry really easy, is I don't talk to him for a while. Now, I don't make it a big deal. I don't yell at him. I don't declare I'm not speaking. I don't do any of that. I leave. I will either go to my room and watch some TV. I'll go for a walk and bitch to my best friend and get it all out and like say like, "Hey, I just want to tell you everything that Chris has done to piss me off royally, and I need to talk about it. And I don't need you to coach me or make it better. I just need to vent." And usually, when I allow myself to talk it out, I hear the parts where it's me. I'm like Chris is really bad to want to spend a lot of time by himself. He's always been kind of a solo artist. And even when we got married, I knew it was going to be hard on me because I am like a, if I could spend all my waking moments with him and we could just co-work, I mean, like if he could sit here during my coaching calls, I would be thrilled. Thrilled. And then he wants, like 23 and a half hours a day by himself.
Yeah.
Okay. When we first were together, it was really hard on me. I have journaling sessions in my diary where I said, I'm probably going to have to leave him. I have me running the numbers of how much I'd have to make
No.
and take care of me and Logan. Like, I just knew that this was going to be a problem in our marriage. And it wasn't because he didn't want to be with me, because it was because when he didn't want to be with me, I thought, see, he doesn't love you.
Yeah.
And if he really loved you, he'd spend time with you. And I finally worked on it and I just realized, like, no, if he spent a lot of time with me, he would be miserable. He would be, because that it doesn't
Not to
work
take it personally, like yeah.
Yeah, like if he,
Even if
like
it
I
wasn't you,
literally,
he would not want to spend whoever he was
right.
married
He,
to.
well, he would be miserable because he needs time to himself.
Yeah.
Now, he would probably do it for me, but when I really started realizing like that would be energetically hard for him, that would be very frustrating for him, and that would build up resentment for him to have to every day to try to be with me as much as I wanted him to be with me, I would be asking him to please set aside your wants and desires just for me.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, well, the easiest thing for everybody would be if I stopped, if I told myself, Chris just likes being alone, and he also loves me a lot.
Yeah.
And that was the easiest change to make. And so now every now and then, like, he'll spend days by himself, days.
Wow.
And then I will start missing him. And I'll come downstairs just to visit for a minute. And then, I mean, he'll give me the, I call it devil horns look, where he'll look up from his community. He just has this face of like, I'm going to listen to you because I know you want to be in here, but you just need to know by this expression, I'm very bothered.
Oh my
And every
God.
time I get mad
Yeah.
because I think I've given you so much space, the least you can do is be happy to see me.
Yeah.
And when I get mad, I always leave. And then later on, when we are together, like when we go to bed, I just tell him, like, I just usually say, hey, I know it's not easy to spend time with me for you, but if tomorrow, if you could just like go to breakfast with me or whatever, like it's going to go a long way for me. And if you're willing to do it, you know, I would love it. And I always have this condition. If he says yes, that's just like gravy. If he says no, I don't take it personally.
Yeah.
You know, but I had to do all of that. And but that only came because I got so good at noticing when I was angry and not yelling or not eating or not doing anything, but just being angry until I could figure out what was really going on. Because I know that all feelings start somewhere in our head.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to do processing to be able to get to where we can get back to logic and stuff, which is great. But at the end of the day, they really do kind of start with our, like, what's going on. And I think for you, it's like, how do I get better at noticing my big feelings and pausing instead of just noticing them? And the destruction wake that
Yeah.
they have, you know? What do you think when I say all that?
Well, it's funny you brought that back up again because when you were talking about being in church and, you know, having that thought about the kid's ugly outfit or whatever, my therapist, I don't see her anymore, but my therapist that I saw for many years said to me, pretend like you're in the bottom of the ocean and you've got like an anchor. And you're holding on to the anchor. Those are the thoughts that are kind of like grounded thoughts that are like your, you know, like your beliefs and things like that, good beliefs, you know, like, you know, I love Jesus or I love, you know, those kind of beliefs that are tried and true that you know are good and that anyway. And then those fleeting thoughts, just think of them, just look up at them in the top of the water and just think of those like little boats that are just, they come in, but then they just pass by. You know, and you're not in the anchor down below saying, I can't believe that boat came into my area, and what if it falls down in the ocean, like the Titanic or something like that. And it's like, no, just think, you know. And so that reminded me when you said that about the, because there'll be, and like I said, there'll be many times I'll say, get behind me, Satan, because I know that that's, you know, because he knows what buttons to push. He knows that, you know,
Oh,
my
absolutely.
self-worth is in the trash a lot of times and stuff. So, but yeah, I really liked what you said about, you know, not taking those thoughts personally. Because when that person saw me, in fact, it's interesting because I happened to see the person as I was walking out of church. I hadn't seen her in quite a while. That was the person that had told me, not the one that said that about her daughter, but the one that had said that I was too much, had told me, well, you're just too much. And I think I was in bed for 2 days after that. And I texted all my friends and my neighbors and said, didn't say who it was, but I said, somebody told me I'm too much. If I've been too much for you, I am so sorry, blah, 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 blah. And one of my neighbors said to me, she goes, well, everybody else was like, oh no, you're fine, blah, blah, blah. One of my neighbors goes, well, you are too much sometimes, but so am I. You know, and
Right.
yeah, and
Usually,
so.
when somebody says something to us that hurts us or like freaks us out like that, I always just do an exercise where I write down how are they absolutely right? Because almost always, when somebody says something, like if somebody says, I'm a bitch, well, I can find lots of times when I am bitchy. It's like, it's, you know, like, okay, like they're literally like they're just speaking a version of a truth. I don't have to take it personally. Like I can just say like, yeah, sometimes I am. It's just like when like I don't know why people, I don't even understand humans sometimes, but for this business, we will have people write on my social, you're just in it for the money.
Oh,
Okay. Well,
unfortunately,
there's
my
truth
heads
to
have thought that at
that.
the beginning.
I've got like 20 employees. I better be in it for the money, or we all ain't eating and we're all going homeless. I gotta be in it for some money. Like, you know, it's one version of the truth. I'm in it for a lot of reasons. But yeah, this is called a business. You know, I didn't set up a charity. Like, you
People
know?
expect things for free, you know, just
Yeah,
automatically.
but like, though, it's like if I took it. If I got hurt and offended or felt ashamed every time somebody's commented on, and I mean, I've got, you know, across all my channels, almost 1 million followers. If every time a million of the 1 million people that follow me said something that they don't like about me, or made a passing comment, and because you know we're always trying to get new people in, which means we're getting lots of people who know nothing about me. If every time I got really anxious and hurt and stuff, y'all, I would shut this business down. I would not be able to operate under the crushing weight of opinions because I would allow opinions to feel like a crushing weight instead of there is truth into everything that people say, and I get to decide how I want to respond to it. But the only way to get there is I had to go through years of it being crushing and it being so devastating and to feel so ashamed that people thought those things about me. And when I watched me start slowing down and not posting as much and not sharing as much, I had to weigh that. It's like, well, in order to not feel so ashamed, that means I have to also let a lot of women never figure out this piece of weight loss because everything has consequences to it. So to protect me means these women are now unsafe. And so I just figured out how to be better at protecting myself, which meant see some of the truth in this, make it make sense. It's like you are too much sometimes because sometimes you have problems and you want to talk to people. And if you put your shit out to the world, and let's say you've got 40 people in your prayer chain. Well, on your worst day, I guarantee you somebody else is having a bad day too. And on that day, you're too much for them. Now, to 39 of them, maybe not. But that's how I always look at it. And if you can find different for all of you, I think today's theme is perspective. Knowing that we all see things through our automatic lenses. And what we want to do is we want to get to where we understand how we see things, which you do very well. You already know that you tend to see things in a way that causes you to beat yourself up. So you're probably seeing things like somebody says or somebody does means I'm not good enough. That, might be the title of your book. Christy's not good enough. So then chapter one, you beat yourself up first. Chapter two, you overreact and blah, blah, blah. So we want to get better at just understanding our perspectives, especially our automatic ones, the hair trigger ones, and we get better then at noticing when we're having them. What do they sound like? What do I do when I'm in it? What does it feel like for me when it's happening? And I get really good at noticing that. And then when I can notice it's happening, now it's a lot easier to intervene. So now I can figure out how do I take care of myself through those? Do I give myself pauses? Are there boundaries I set for myself? Like my boundary is, Corinne, when you're angry at your husband, my personal boundary is remove yourself from the situation. Don't make it worse. Because my tendency is if I'm angry, we all gotta fucking be angry.
If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Exactly. And but the problem is that then I gotta play cleanup duty. There's a lot of apologizing. I'm just like, I want to do all that. So maybe do that. Like get to know yourself better. Not just I am good at beating myself up. Say, I want to know when am I beating myself up? How does it feel when I'm doing it? What does it look like? And what am I usually like? What types of things trigger me to beat myself up? You get to know all that, then it's so much easier to control your internal environment. But most of us just go through life not really getting to know ourselves enough. And it's just like, it just happens. It just, the kids are shits, and I just, this woman just said this, and I just got hurt, and that's where our power lies. Okay. All right. You have your homework. No more punishing yourself, though. At least get to know when you're doing, like, make a list today of ways I know I punish myself and say, when I catch myself doing it, I'm going to come up with a really grounding thought. Like, this is my pattern. It's not needed. And then ask, can I just stop doing this right now? Because I know where it's coming from. Get really good at that for a while. I bet you will see a lot of just natural relief and improvement if you can just work on that one intervention point.
Yeah,
Okay.
that's good.
All right. Thank
Thank
you.
you. I appreciate it.
Bye. All right. I have to get out of here. I have another appointment coming up, and we have another call starting in 7 minutes. I believe today is the maintenance call, and it is, I think it's Coach Lizzie's first time with y'all, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. Maintenance is up next, and you will have your own maintenance coach leading it. Finally, we have our own maintenance coach. So, be excited. Coach Lizzie will be coming on in 6 or 7 minutes, and then I will see y'all next Sunday. Bye, y'all.